Welcome to TechNet Radio, your guide to the IT universe.
Welcome back to TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Aurora Queen. Thanks for joining me today. So each month we'll have one show around Microsoft IT, and we're partnering with them to deliver you monthly topics. We're going to be discussing best practices and experiences for Microsoft IT that give a unique inside view into how Microsoft plans for, deploys, and manages its own enterprise solutions. Today our topic is how Microsoft IT monitors and manages the Exchange messaging infrastructure as a service. Michael Murphy interviews Grant Hogan, who's responsible for the service management of Microsoft IT's implementation of Exchange 2007. And then after that interview, I'll wrap it up with my weekly events calendar. Here's Michael Murphy and Grant Hogan on TechNet Radio.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this installment of TechNet Radio. My name is Michael Murphy, and I'm pleased to have with us today Grant Hogan. Grant, how are you doing?
Very good. Thanks for having me, Michael.
It's a pleasure. Good to talk. I think, well, we're going to have some fun today, but Grant is a service manager at Microsoft IT, and Microsoft IT is our internal technical support, right? These are the folks that make sure that Microsoft IT is delivering world-class service to its internal clients. And Grant works specifically in the messaging area, which is business critical at Microsoft, as you can imagine. And is the proud father of a one-year-old boy who just celebrated his birthday. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you very much.
And so tell us, as a service manager in Microsoft IT, describe that role for folks. What exactly is it that you do, Grant?
So the service manager, I own the end-to-end service, and in my case, that's messaging. There's a number of service managers within Microsoft IT who own other components, but my focus is, of course, on messaging. So it is my responsibility not only to make sure that our servers are up and running regularly, but that our clients are able to use them, able to access them, and have adequate education and understanding of what our service technologies can provide. So it's not just a matter of deploying the email system. It's a matter of educating and communicating how people can become productive in their use of the email system.
And so what level, if there is a server down situation, what level of involvement do you have in a situation like that?
I'm notified immediately of a server down situation, and I work with a team of operations professionals who are the know-how people on the team, the people involved in actually working on the servers, who are the technology experts who know how to fix things, know how to get things done. My role is to be a liaison or a conduit from those people to the clients of Microsoft services. So if there is a server outage that these operations people are working on, it's my job to make sure that the clients around Microsoft are aware of what's going on, how long their service might be impacted, and what we're doing to fix it.
Now, there is a process at Microsoft. Microsoft clearly is engaged in this process of migrating to Exchange 2007 as its messaging infrastructure, and that's, you know, public knowledge, well known.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, I've been involved in the dog food process. Can you describe that dog food process and what that is?
Certainly. Dog food is a methodology or process that Microsoft IT and the Microsoft product groups came up with basically to make sure that we were prepared to, and we are releasing products that are enterprise ready the first time we release them.
Eat your own dog food, right?
Eat your own dog food, exactly. So it's a matter of running the early versions of the product in an environment that is somewhat controlled and somewhat small within Microsoft, but running it at a production-type level as if it was a production environment for those people, especially for those people who are actually developing the service themselves. So all those people who work on the Exchange team who make the Exchange product, they live and eat dog food every day. They get to experience their own accomplishments when they do great things, and they get to experience their own pain when their code breaks and their servers are down. So it makes it a very personal, a very real experience for them to make products that are absolutely reliable, and they understand how important that is.
And you mentioned the Exchange group, and Microsoft IT, of course, interacts with all the product groups. For you as Exchange in the messaging space, can you describe that relationship between the product group and you and your staff a little bit more for the folks?
Absolutely. The relationship with the product group is key to everything that we do within the messaging infrastructure at Microsoft IT. It involves more than weekly meetings with the Exchange product team, with myself as a service manager, and with our program management staff, who are actually the folks who are looking a little bit more forward-thinking as far as deploying products, thinking about the timeline of product releases, things like that. We meet with these teams to get updates on what they're doing, what's coming up, what new things are happening within new builds or new versions of the product, to get feedback from them. And then we also provide feedback to them to make sure that they understand that the types of issues, problems, bugs that we're seeing in the environment, in the act of running the environment, so that they are very much aware of what's going on. Not only are they seeing it, as I mentioned, from a dog food perspective, and that they experience the crashes, but we're providing them detailed metrics analysis, root problem causes, all kinds of information about what issues we've seen running their products in a real production environment.
So you work closely with these folks.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And currently, we are involved in the process of deploying Exchange 2007 to over 130,000 client and system mailboxes, right?
That's right.
So how do you manage a deployment like that across teams that depends on so many folks? Where do you start?
I guess, you know, baby steps would be the key here, is that we do this in small chunks, chunks that we know we can bite off and we can manage in any given time. So everything starts in that dog food environment, and that's, you know, that's about 5,000 of that 130,000 mailboxes. And those folks have been running on Exchange 2007 for close to 2 years now. So it's been a long time in the making, and there's a lot of steps involved in the process. So once we, you know, are comfortable with our dog food environment and we've run that successfully and established some stability there, then we can roll that out to a smaller pilot group. And that first pilot group was actually my IT team. So my general manager's team, my general manager volunteered his team to roll out onto the new Exchange 2007 platform.
Oh, he volunteered them, did he?
Yeah,
how did that go over?
Himself included, of course. So he's a staunch advocate of dog fooding as well. So that was another 400 or 500 people, so we could start really experiencing it all ourselves as well. And then after that, we began rolling out to different buildings around the Puget Sound campus in somewhat larger scope and larger scale. And then the rest of Puget Sound falls into line, and then on to North America and on to the different regions around the world. So we take this in a number of small steps so that we can learn from the steps preceding, and as we keep rolling out to larger and larger rings of the Microsoft environment, we've got a much stronger knowledge base, we've got a much more educated service desk that is managing the incoming calls from client issues, we've got a much more educated operations team, so that by the time we're supporting 30, 40, 50, 60, 80,000 mailboxes on the brand new system, on the pre-released version of the system, we've got a well-established track of experience going into that support model.
The real evidence for how this thing runs and how it works. What have we done internally to take advantage of some of the enhanced productivity features that Exchange 2007 promises?
One of the big initiatives that Microsoft has is the 24x7 initiatives, and that is the idea that in the next 24 months from the release of Outlook 2007 and Exchange 2007, that we will be able to give our resources here at Microsoft 7 million hours back of productivity. So that's a big goal. It's something we're absolutely shooting for in the next 24 months. But Exchange and Office 2007 are key components of that. So some of the things we'll be looking at, not only educating and providing information to our clients about using, we'll also be looking at measuring the impact of this so that we can share with our customers via white paper format or PowerPoint slides, et cetera, about how we actually took advantage of productivity and how it actually changed the way people work at Microsoft.
And I was going to suggest, why is that? What is there inherent in Exchange 2007 that's going to save me so much time?
Right. So to get into the specifics of these things that are going to save us time is, I guess, one of the big things that I love about Exchange 2007 and Office 2007 as a user myself is the indexed search. This allows me to look for email within my inbox or mail or send items folder, whatever folder I might want to search through. I can search as fast as I can type, basically. I can start typing into that search box. I'm getting messages back instantly as I'm typing, so I can find the information that I need, and that saved me a ton of time because I'm sort of a pack rat as far as it goes in the email saving sense. I love the feature that is the automatic scheduling assistant. So as a service manager, I'm often involved in group meetings, team meetings of 5, 6, 10 people. So around all around the campus, I've got to find meeting spaces and actual times that people are available to meet. So the scheduling assistant within the Outlook client and in coordination with the Exchange server allows me to pick a group of people, pick an area, say a building 11, which is where I'm located, and then the scheduling assistant is going to come back to me and say, it would be best for you to have this meeting on this day at this time because these people are available and this conference room is available in the building that you selected. So instead of me hunting down all kinds of times and tracking down people's free busy information, it's all aggregated in a nice little window for me and taken care of, so I don't even have to really think much about it, and my meetings almost schedule themselves. Another great feature is the increased limits for rules functionality. In prior versions of Exchange, we only allowed for 32 KB of rules size, and we've doubled that. So I know a lot of people drive efficiency into their email experience by setting rules for their client so they can move less important mails here, more important mails there, et cetera. And this will allow even for more depth and breadth of rule setting within the Exchange and Outlook experience.
So in the product suite, Office and Exchange, we can see that there are feature sets for improved productivity. And so you anticipate saving 7 million hours, or you're shooting to save 7 million hours. How are you going to capture that?
So the way we're going to capture that is basically in the, and this is an IT-wide initiative. This is not 7 million hours just for Exchange and Outlook. This is everything that we do in IT we want to give back to the Microsoft resources. So specifically in the messaging framework, in the messaging sense, what we've done is basically taken a level set in the Outlook 2003, Exchange 2003 user base to say, here are some important things that we do that we know that take a lot of time. Take for instance, the setting up a meeting example that I just gave. In the Outlook 2003 experience, we did a number of client testing where we actually, you know, stopwatched measurement people and had them set up meetings, had them look for to book resources and things like that. And then we will do the same thing again in Exchange 2007, Outlook 2007, and we'll get a different measurement as far as the time goes on that. And that's basically one way that we'll be calculating a change in the productivity gain between using the different products. So all in all, there were 24 different measures that we took from a 2003 perspective that we'll be again comparing in a 2007 perspective so that we can see the real level of difference. And then, of course, there will be some mathematics and multiplication of those measurements taken out to the amount of people who use this feature or that within the Exchange 2007 time frame.
Well, I'll tell you, I moved to the Exchange 2007 dog food a while ago now and was on Office 2007 Beta 1.
Mm-hmm.
And just for myself, the interface is much easier. I see a lot of support in there. The search components that you mentioned, it's all, you know, it certainly makes my life easier. And you know, around Microsoft, we live and die by email.
Mm-hmm.
I know personally, last year I sent nearly 4,000 emails, and I'm probably not as heavy a user as many of my colleagues. On the subject of dog fooding, and this process of moving to Exchange 2007, this massive 100,000-plus mailbox migration. One of my favorite things has been the way in which I get communiqués about service. So I regularly get service outage notifications.
Mm-hmm.
And they are my favorite thing about this process. Tell me what they are and why you send them.
Sure. Service outage notifications are obviously a very important thing because, as you mentioned, at Microsoft, email is certainly a very critical component of everyone's job here. We all rely heavily on our email service. So for me as a service manager, I need to make sure you know when your email is going to be available, when it's not, so you can plan around that effectively so you can continue to do your job even when we're trying to deploy new products and new versions of the same product over and over again. So as a service manager, I provide those status notifications about a availability outage, whether it's due to an unforeseen incident, maybe we experienced a bug or a crash, then that's basically an after-the-fact outage notification that I will tell you, here is why your server was out, here is what we did to fix it, and here is how we will never see this again, or here is what we've done, a change in the product, or how we've interfaced with the product group to make sure that this is captured and corrected in the product. If it's something in advance, say we're upgrading to upgrading from one version to the next, dog food build number 3 to dog food build number 5 in the organizational force, we're upgrading the service. I need to tell you that in advance so that you can plan around that, so you can choose to work at different hours because we're going to be upgrading the service early in the morning or possibly late at night. So you don't have a conflict in your work. So we try to provide that information up to a week in advance in our corporate forest and up to 24 hours in advance in our dog food forest where there's a lot more rapid change going on.
And
so we feel it's a very key component of the service management to make sure everyone knows what's going on with their service and when.
And, Grant, it was really that later example that I was thinking of. The process of watching the team through this upgrade process, right? So a new build comes out in week 1, that gets applied. A new build comes out in week 2, that gets applied. Mm-hmm. And of course, to rebuild those boxes, you're going to have to take them offline. That's just reality.
Right.
And what I've found is that the communication from you guys down to us has been fabulous, really good. And of course, the real beauty is I know that I'm not going to have any email access on Thursday afternoon, and I'm really grateful for that.
Well, that's great feedback. I'm happy to know that just from a little advance notice, you're actually excited to not have email service for some amount of time.
Exactly. It means that I can get other parts of my job accomplished.
Right.
Okay. Well, what's exciting to you looking forward? We're almost out of time here, so let me just close out with this. What's exciting to you looking forward in the near term?
I guess what I am most excited about is getting Exchange 2007 deployed to the rest of the Microsoft world. As I said, we're about 40% deployed right now.
What's your rate of deployment right now?
We're upgrading people from 2003 to 2007 at about 1,000 to 1,500 people per night. So we're moving along quite rapidly now. And our next big milestones, our next big stages to deployment are upgrades of the servers in our Dublin data center, which basically hosts Exchange service for everyone in the EMEA area, and upgrade of our Singapore-based servers, which host our Exchange service for everyone in the Asia and South Pacific area. So that will bring us, by the time we finish those deployments, we'll be up well over 90% deployed. And I'm really looking forward to having everyone have a sort of a unified Exchange experience across the board, so we don't have to have an intermingling of the 2003 and 2007 version as far as a client education and client awareness perspective. So that should be happening within the next 3 weeks. We should be that close to deployment of Exchange 2007 worldwide around Microsoft.
And now I have to ask this question because you just used the word unified. And one of my favorite things in Exchange 2007 is the unified messaging component. So can
right.
you just tell folks about that a little bit?
So
I just think that's so cool.
It is great. I'd like it a lot myself. The unified messaging component is new in Exchange 2007 and allows basically an Exchange 2007 user out of the box to have voicemail access, email access, calendar, and contacts information that is serviced through the Exchange clients. That means over the telephone, someone can get information from all of those sources, whether they want to have their email read to them, they want to hear what's coming up for them through the day on the calendar, they want to get a hold of different contacts that are stored within their Outlook client. They can get all that over the telephone through speech and dial recognition. I can cancel meetings over the phone. I can clear my schedule for the rest of the day if I want to take it off and spend the day with my kid. Or I can even tell people that I'm going to be 15 to 20 minutes late for the next meeting because I took a long lunch or something like that. The flexibility with the voice access is tremendous. The recognition is very good, and it allows for me to just talk to my phone as if I was talking to my personal assistant.
It's really, on the subject of productivity enhancements and streamlines and integration, that it really improves life a lot.
Speaking of streamlining integration, that's one more thing, is that it integrates the Windows Media Player right into my Outlook client.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm looking at a voicemail that was left for me through the UM system, I'm just pressing a little play button that looks just like I'm playing one of my favorite music songs, and it's a voicemail from one of my colleagues.
And RSS.
That's right.
And the list goes on and on.
Yeah, we could talk for hours.
So, Grant, listen, I really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for taking the time out to talk to us about how Microsoft does IT.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Michael.
Michael Murphy and Grant Hogan on TechNet Radio. And now, onto my weekly events calendar. There's a Microsoft IT webcast focusing on Exchange 2007, how Microsoft IT designs its 64-bit Exchange Server 2007 infrastructure, and that's a level 300. It's on Tuesday, November 7th at 9:30 a.m. Pacific Time. In this webcast, find out how Microsoft IT was able to take advantage of 64-bit architecture to fully deploy the Microsoft Exchange Server 2007 in its production environment. Hear engineers from the Microsoft IT messaging team describe how they were able to overcome some of the toughest performance bottlenecks in the Microsoft messaging systems. I'll put the link for that up on our site, microsoft.com/TN Radio, or you can visit microsoft.com/webcasts. There's another Exchange webcast I wanted to let you know about. It's a TechNet webcast, Wednesday, November 1st at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, and it's titled Forefront Security for Exchange Server 2007. Join this session for an overview of Forefront features and functions, and to learn how antivirus protection is better and more efficient than ever with Forefront Security for Exchange Server 2007. For all you folks here in beautiful Seattle, and it is beautiful this time of year, the Blog Business Summit is returning on October 25th through the 27th. The Blog Business Summit is a touring series that feature top bloggers presenting their favorite tools and techniques for gathering business intelligence, promoting products and brands, and much more. You can visit blogbusinesssummit.com for more info on that event. If you have an event you want to let me know about, or any great content ideas for the show, or if you just want to say hi, shoot me over an email at tnradio@microsoft.com. You can also call 877-814-6506. Thanks for listening today. For TechNet Radio, I'm Aurora Queen.
Have comments or want to request a story idea? Call us at 1-877-814-6506.